Good morning, Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park. We are hanging out Shanty Creek the next couple days. Gov and Greg behind the glass. We've got Evan Jenkins on site working through some stuff right now. We got Luke Sloan on the updates.
Yeah.
Ready to go.
Home. We're here early. Evan's here early. I know it's he's got the baby at home, so he's got to be used to being up a little bit
he's
early.
He's probably looking to get away for a couple days.
Yeah, full night of sleep.
He's
all
pumped
the way through. Yeah, but it's it was a beautiful night. A little cloudy today. I don't know what it is downstate. I know that they're supposed to be getting – I know they got some heavy rains last night. Mm-hmm. Baseball was canceled. A lot of things were canceled last night. A lot of flooding down in southeast Michigan. But wouldn't know that because we had a beautiful evening up here, and it's going to be a pretty crazy day. But
it's going to be a fun day.
It is going to be a lot of fun.
Two Grand Slam, A.J. Hinch, Dear John, all of that.
Well, that's fun. I was thinking about the wine tour later.
Oh, but yeah. Well, that too. Yeah. Heather, our folks on the show, yeah, we just started here.
Wine tour, a little golf for those of us that are golfing today. So
you're
yeah.
not going on the wine tour, John?
No.
Well, you know me. I love to wine, so that's where I'll be.
I figured as much, and I'm curious how many dudes.
You think I might be the only guy on the wine tour?
He's not.
Oh, he's not.
I did look at the list.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because so all of the stations are here this morning. We're lined up. It's tight quarters.
Sardined in.
And I know Joanne Purton, her husband is going on the wine tour.
Well, because he just had Tommy John surgery.
Yes, he did.
So we can't golf. So we can't golf.
Yes. Him and Jackson Job in the same spot. Yes. No golf for Jackson.
Yes. It sounds like his recovery is going to be 12 to 18 months.
Yes. Yeah. I do have an update on the rat, not mouse, situation. We'll get to it at 6:18. I want to address something Heather texted us this morning.
Mm.
And this is an innocent request, but I have to ask a question.
Okay.
Are you hungover?
Not at all.
Not at all.
I didn't drink it all last night.
Really?
I didn't have a sip
of alcohol. It was a little cocktail hour.
Oh,
and
really? You didn't have anything?
No.
I had water all night.
Wow.
That wasn't vodka?
Well, I don't know. Responsible. I mean, there's no kids here. There's
I know, but it's the alarm clock that goes off at 4:30 that it's like, ugh.
But when she's asking about Advil this morning, I'm going, well, maybe she had a little too much.
I kind of feel hungover, though. I woke up with this killer headache. My back hurt. Like, it just, I think it's the way I slept.
Mattresses
maybe?
Weren't great.
No.
So I get that. And it's, but yeah, and it. I have to apologize publicly to Heather because I sent a text this morning thinking, because I'd been up for a while, I was going to run over to, since we're here at Shanty Creek, Mansalona, right over on 131. Gas station was open over there. I needed some coffee. I thought, you know what? I'll just send a text and say, hey, good morning, everyone. Would you like me to pick you something up?
Apparently, a really nice text, you would think.
Yes.
But
apparently, I woke her up. I can't believe a text woke you up, though.
Well, it goes through my watch. So the watch vibrates. And I was like, who is this? And I look over one eye, like prying it open.
John Jansen.
Before my alarm clock.
Uh-huh.
How dare he?
Were you able to go back to sleep? Or?
Oh, no. But no. I laid there quietly.
Made the most of it.
Uh-huh. I pretended to sleep. I had a weird dream. You were in it.
So oh, I made the list.
But this wasn't. We were in a plane crash.
Oh,
what? Well,
you're trying to kill me in your dream.
Tom was the pilot. So
it wasn't a Sully situation. He couldn't get you in the Hudson.
We didn't die. So
okay, so we did a good job.
We crashed into the water, and the plane filled with water, and we had to break a window and swim out.
Okay, all right.
I don't know what that means.
Tom, do you think you could land a plane in an emergency situation?
No.
No. Not even.
I have
in the
zero
water.
Experience.
Hey, just, I mean, pull up. That's it, right? I mean, keep the nose
sure,
up.
It's as easy
careful.
As that.
Yeah, keep the nose up. Land on the belly.
Heather, did you think the text was maybe from Jim that time of night?
Oh, God. Speaking
morning.
Of that time
that
of night.
Time of that time of morning? No.
That time of night applies to John. What time were you up?
I got up around 2:30.
What? Why?
Well,
why would you do that?
Because this, so a little insight into, this is the environment that I would love to live in. And when I lived up here, it's absolutely where I was. And so I try to take advantage of every minute while I'm here. So at 2:30, I wake up and I'm like, you know what? We got this beautiful surrounding. Yes, it's dark and it had started to sprinkle a little bit, but I'm going to go for a walk. There is something very peaceful, and I know Jimmy will understand this, when you are, it's pitch black because there's no moonlight, it's cloud cover, and you are just walking through the woods, and I'm on the road, but it's lined by pines. And whether it's the smell, it's just – it's absolutely silent, and you can hear everything because you can't see anything.
Yeah.
It is absolutely beautiful, and it's – like when I go on to fishing, there's a lot to – because I don't get a chance to do it a lot. I will literally fish for 24 or 48 hours in a row because I want to – I feel like I want to maximize – the opportunity that I have, because as soon as tomorrow's show is over, I'm back and I'm picking up Ellie to go to softball, and Jack's got baseball, and
John sleeps good, though.
It's quiet there, dark, peaceful.
Where?
Sleeping.
Sleeping. Yes, I know, but I'm missing out. I have FOMO. I totally think I'm going to miss out, and I just want to take advantage of being able to be up here. It's a beautiful surrounding. It's even more beautiful in the daylight. But I just don't want to miss a moment.
Yeah, we got Lake Bel Air over our shoulder over there. Yeah. Tiger game.
Yeah, I could have missed that one last night.
Yeah.
Not a lot going on there. The bats were, let's just say, inactive. So
when Flaherty left the game, they had one hit. Not great.
No, not a lot of. And so we've been hard on Jack Flaherty, and I know it's been a roller coaster. It was kind of a mixed bag last night. Obviously, the three-run home run, which kind of felt like it should have been a two-run home run. Dylan Dingler, another great throw. If
the tag's better.
Tag is a little bit better, probably out. But in the end, it doesn't matter because
there's a two-run versus a three-run homer, and they lose either way.
Yeah, you lose 2-0 or 3-0 because there's no run scored.
But clean first inning for Jack. Quick first inning for Jack.
Did you see the between the legs?
Little nutmeg.
Yeah.
And he was getting swing and miss.
Yeah.
Ton of whiffs, 7 strikeouts. I know the walks may concern people. Velo's there, swing and miss is there, and it's a quality start. 6 innings, 3 or fewer runs. They got to score more.
Yeah.
I don't have a big Jack issue after last night.
No, and I mean, that's just what you want to see. And that's why, like, the win-loss. And I know there was an article written about Paul Skeens yesterday about, you know, you were probably not going to see a 30-win pitcher ever again.
No.
Because it's just the way baseball is right now, the length that these guys pitch or don't pitch, and the strikeouts are so much higher. And I know we've been on Riley Green, and Spencer Torkelson struck out, you know, again, you know, yesterday.
Is that 103 on the gun by Mason Miller? By the way, if he wants to stay in Detroit, if we can just work out a deal today, that'd be great.
Be happy to have him in the bullpen. But, yeah, I mean, it was – and you could tell it was late, but it's 103 heater. But it's just – It's hard on pitchers when you get absolutely no run support and no hits. Like, there wasn't even a chance for, you know, like you would hope maybe there's a couple of walks, a stolen base. You can, you know, play a little small ball and squeeze out a run. They just didn't even have that opportunity yesterday.
Nights like that, they don't happen often, but nights like that bring back the PTSD of Cleveland, because if you don't put the ball in play, ton of strikeouts. This team is among the leaders in all of baseball in strikeouts. That's one thing we don't spend a lot of time on. It petrifies me a little bit, the idea that if you get in postseason baseball and you need to win a 3-2 ball game and you're not getting contact, if you're not giving your athletic base runners a chance to get somewhere because you just go back to the dugout, ball's in the catcher's mitt.
Well, and so one of the things that we didn't highlight yesterday, when we talked about the first team to 50, they're also the first team to 400 runs.
Yep.
So it's not like they're not getting run support. It's and I think yesterday, I didn't check it out today, yesterday they were tied for second in run differential. So they've been really good at being able to support the pitchers for the most part. I mean, still best record in Major League Baseball. So it's hard to sit there and complain about one game. Now, if, like, the Yankees had those 3 games in a row, if they get to 3 games and there's no – you know, no run scored. Now, all of a sudden, we talk a little bit more about the issues. But, you know, it's a one-off. I'm not going to hammer him for having a bad day at the plate.
A.J. Hinch is going to join us today, 8:02. Day game for the Tigers, 1:10. Finish up the series. Look to win the series against the Athletics.
Yeah, and who was telling me yesterday? I think maybe it was Tom had the stat that out of the series that they've had what they're like 20-4.
They always win the first game.
In the first game, and it gives them a chance. Like, A.J. Hinch has always harped on, hey, let's just take this series. We'll win this series. And they've been really good at winning series, and part of that is because they've been able to win the first game. They split the next two, and all of a sudden, hey, you win another series, and they've been really good at that.
248-539-9797. Open lines. I got an update on The rat situation. Got that coming up next.
I can't wait to hear this.
Hey, Dan Campbell's probably the most beloved figure in Detroit sports right now. Was he served a batch of disrespect? We'll get to that at 6:35 this morning. It's 97.1.
It's the first thing we do.
Yeah, nothing Parker Meadows could have done on that one. Dan Dickerson on the call. Tigers blanked last night. Try to win the series later today at 1:10. We're hanging out live at Shanty Creek, having a good time. 6:35. Dan Campbell, the most beloved sports figure in our city. Mm-hmm. Where does he rank among his peers? We'll get into that. John, I promised you guys an update.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about this one. Do we have capture live or terminated?
What?
So I got home yesterday.
Yeah.
Kelsey's still on the porch. Won't go inside. There's a rat or a mouse or some kind of rodent in there. We brought this up. And I go, I have a shovel in hand. I'm ready to just scoop it up, right?
So, or whack it.
Whatever needs to happen.
Yeah.
I walk in, I go, where is it? You said it was right here in the kitchen. Where is it? So now I'm playing hide and seek.
Is she pointing from outside the window?
Yes. She's still outside. I crack open a little screen on the window so I can communicate with her. And I'm on a hunt, shovel in hand, searching, waiting. And we have one of those couches, the modular sofas. So I'm taking apart the modules one by one.
This
by
is the one that you're not allowed to eat on.
You can eat on it now.
Oh,
it's been over
it's
a
been
year.
Broken in.
And I pick up one, and there it goes.
Oh.
And it's not a mouse. It's a hairy brown rat.
Oh.
And it's running in the kitchen. Our cat's on the Casey. I'm like, get it.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Uh-huh.
And he lands a blow, and they're going at it, and I'm rooting him on. But it jumps in our Lazy Susan.
Just spin it.
Well, John, I did. I'm like, get out of here. I'm jamming a broom in there. He's
making dizzy.
He's sniffing and pawing, and I go, so now I got to play a waiting game. We have a standoff. Well, we got a time crunch. I got to get some stuff ready to go. Kelsey's not going to come back in the house. I spent 2 hours. I'm starting to take apart the Lazy Susan. And I said, okay, it's a rat. I'm just going to call somebody. So I'm on the road. Someone stops by. They put out a lot of those rat traps in the Lazy Susan, in the basement, in some other key spots. And as of now, I don't know if we've caught this
rat. She hasn't texted you?
Well, I've talked to her.
She did not sleep well last night.
She spent the night in the house, though.
She did. I did offer as a Hail Mary. I don't like spending money to pay for both the service and a hotel, but I said, if you can't sleep.
It's so cheap.
It's not so cheap.
Trust me, Kelsey, I get where she's at. My wife, if she saw a rat in the house, there is absolutely no chance, and I would be paying for a hotel
room. I offered it. I said, look, I know it's not ideal, so if you need to. She goes, no, I'm going to try to sleep.
Uh-huh.
So as of now, we may or may not have caught this rat.
But I don't see her going and inspecting the traps. Like, she's probably just running past the kitchen.
Yeah.
So you might not know until you get home.
Until we get home.
The visions I have of you walking around your house with the shovel on your shoulder. And I can't reply on Twitch right now, but I can see we are live on Twitch, and I could see the comments. And the best one so far this morning is Elmer Fudd Costa.
Yeah.
You can see him with the shovel walking around the house.
Hunting wats.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, yes. The next one is, this is like a Tom and Jerry episode.
John,
very much.
I'm calling. Some places wouldn't get rats at all. They would only do mice, or they do little bugs. So I'm like, okay, next.
Do rats.
No, I know. And then my big thing was, you got to be able to come out today. If you're booked, I get it. I'm just going to need to go to the next phone call. I got one place that goes, we don't do it, but we'll refer to you to somebody else.
Okay. Okay.
Phone, great. I'm talking to them, and they're like, if you know where it is, I'd try to get it yourself. Do you have a gun?
You should have said no, but I know somebody.
Can you explain how a gun would help me get the rat, John?
Yeah, you shoot it. So there are different shells that you can use. There is a snake load that you could shoot at it, and it's a finer one. It may leave a little mark, but not as big as it would if you had buckshot. Now it depends on the level of splatter that you're looking at.
Time for a kitchen remodel.
They'll never use that again.
No kidding.
Right. That's easy to replace.
What's this hair?
But this was the worst case scenario.
What's this hair?
From the rat.
Oh,
from the rat.
Why is this so curly?
No, you said that, not me.
I love it up here. I absolutely love it up here. This is great. Oh, well.
So how's this going to end? One of these traps is going to catch this stupid rat, and then we're going to get it out of the house and be done with it.
You're going to get it out of the house.
Okay, great. Yeah. I'm going to take the trap out.
Yes,
of the
Kelsey
house.
Will not do that.
Yeah, no. She's,
I would not do that.
Now, they weren't live traps, right? They were the mission was seek and destroy.
I'm not sure what type of traps.
Oh, can you imagine if it's a live trap?
You got little things hissing at you. It's going to flip you the bird.
He's brought in mice before. Mice are no big deal. He's brought them in, and they're still alive, and he's playing around with them. And I can get a mouse out of the house. A rat's a different animal, so we call the professionals.
Oh, boy. Life and times of Jim Costa.
Never a dull moment.
Wife.
Never a dull moment.
No. Hopefully by the time Kelsey wakes up, we will be able to have a new update.
Yeah, but then she'd have to check the trap, to Heather's point.
Yeah, but sometimes if it's...
Maybe she'll just peek in there.
Like, or if it's not dead yet, it could be, it flopping around, which you would hear.
That was it.
I was trying to, stress to her. I'm like, look, we've got the traps. You've got the guard cat. Like, we can't be doing anything.
The guard cat. Please stop with the guard cat.
We can't be doing anything else.
Wait, what?
The guard cat who actually brought the vermin in.
She's not happy with him right now.
Yeah.
But like, hey, he's your best defense right now. Anyway, we'll get to Dan Campbell, 6:35. First, Heather with the news.
A guard cat.
Yes.
Every home should have one.
This is cool. Two cities in Michigan are ranked in the top 15 in the entire country for best small cities to live in 2025 and 2026. And one of them happens to be my old stomping grounds.
Oh.
Yes.
EO?
What'd you say?
EO, East Lansing.
Oh, no.
No.
That was my old stomping ground. But
yes.
My old stomping ground,
list.
Rochester Hills, came in at number 4.
Right.
Troy came in at number 5.
Oh, wow.
This is all according to U.S. News and World Report. And they looked at things like desirability, quality of life, job market, crime rates, cost of living, quality education, things like that. So
that's cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Out of the entire country, right here in our own backyards.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty neat. Police are still searching for the person responsible for shooting two people before the Ford fireworks. And there is now a $1,000 reward being offered for any information leading to this guy's arrest, right? So according to authorities, a young man was in a fight with a 17-year-old boy when he pulled out a gun and shot the teen. They also say an innocent bystander, only identified as a 22-year-old woman, was also hit. Both victims hospitalized with serious injuries. Mm. Like I said, when this first broke, there's photos. They've released pictures of this person and also a person of interest. Their photos are online. You can check them out if you know anything. You can call Crime Stoppers. You can call the police department. Give them some tips there. This was nice. You might have seen this on social media. Sam LaPorta recently got married.
Yes.
And he and his new wife, Callahan, were blessed by the Pope.
Super Bowl incoming.
Yeah, hey. It's now ordained, or it's religious. They've been touched.
They have been. They got married on June 14th, then traveled to the Vatican shortly afterward. He posted photos on Instagram. You can see them with the Pope, and he put the caption, "Thank you to a very busy man for blessing me and my bride."
That's really cool. That's really cool. First of all, that they're in Rome for...
At first, when I saw it, that's where they got married.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, they just got married right there. But no,
They went there on their honeymoon and they got blessed.
Are you aware of the rumors? Everybody knows the Pope's a White Sox fan.
Yeah.
But he spent some time in West Michigan.
Oh.
There were some people who thought there's
a
chance.
Fan?
Is this confirmation?
Oh.
I mean,
the papacy's on our side.
Yeah.
Do you think the Pope knew who he was?
Well, that'd be great.
He's
talking to him about the big catch in the playoff game.
Yeah.
I don't know if he... We've seen him with the pictures at the White Sox game, so you got to believe
he is a
sports fan. Sure.
But then he also is seeing so many people every day. Would you really know?
I don't know. He looked up and said, Sam LaPorta. And the thing about the football players, right, is every time you see them, and Sam's very unassuming, you got your helmet on.
Yeah.
So face recognition for him is very much different than it is for, you know, Goff or Gibbs or some of these other guys where the camera's on them on the sidelines all the time.
Yep. You might have heard about this story. There was a fan who taunted, I guess you could say, Arizona Diamondbacks' Ketel Marte, yelling out something about his late mother. This was during Tuesday night's game. I don't know what he yelled. I don't know what the heckle was. Yeah. I don't think anybody really knows except those who heard it. But this guy has now been banned indefinitely from every MLB ballpark. He can no longer attend any game. The taunting occurred in the seventh inning while Marte was at bat, and it brought him to tears. So whatever he said to him was bad enough to bring this man to tears. His mother actually passed away in a car accident several years ago. I believe it was 2017 in the Dominican Republic. Sources say the heckling could be heard by the Diamondbacks manager, who basically said, hey, this fan's got to go. Yeah. He's got to be ejected. And he was. The fan did later say, hey, you know what? I am remorseful. I'm sorry I crossed the line. But is he sorry that he crossed the line, or is he sorry that he got caught and is now banned from every
ballpark? Yeah, I mean, that's the question. Did he know that his mom was he taking a generic shot?
Yo mama type thing?
Yeah, or did he know? Yeah. We know ahead of time.
It's got to be worse than
I know. I'm
that.
Sure it was
to
much
bring
worse.
Somebody
I'm
to
saying
tears. It can't be like.
Well, I understand why because his mother tragically passed away. Did the fan know that? I don't know. That could be part of why he feels remorseful. Still not okay. We talked about crossing the line. With fans getting tossed last week, and we said, what if it's something racist? If it's a threat, let's add. If you're gonna bring up someone's mom who died tragically, clearly over the line.
Yes. Yes.
Speaking of tragedy, there was a gruesome scene that unfolded on the Jersey Shore Wednesday. A lifeguard was impaled by a beach umbrella.
Ooh.
Not just like, I'm talking, you know, those like 6 foot long beach umbrellas.
Was it caught by the wind?
I think so. And it sounds like what they believe is that she was chasing after it because it got blown away. And then they think she might have tripped. And then got impaled. It went through, like, under her shoulder blade, through her shoulder, out the back. Oh. And they said that they actually had to get a saw and cut it apart before they could even get her to the hospital. But overall, they said she was conscious and in good spirits
for
the situation.
For what she was going through, I guess. Jeez, oh, Pete.
Can you imagine that?
No.
No, no. I mean, it's I've seen it in some windstorms. I've seen those things fly around, and they do look like spears.
Well, that's she's lucky to be alive.
Yeah,
she is. I think she is.
Yeah.
I don't have an update yet, but she was alive when it happened, so that's good.
Yeah.
All right, Heather with the news. Coming up next, where does Dan Campbell rank among his peers? It's 97.1. Dan Campbell, we love him. We're very protective of him. We think he's a damn good coach.
Very protective of all of our athletes, and now coaches fill that bill as well.
Pro Football Focus put out their list, ranking all the coaches in the NFL. And look, last year we thought, hey, Dan Campbell should be the coach of the year. Look at the job he's done turning around the Detroit Lions. We know what this franchise has been, and we know where they are right now, and he gets a lot of the credit. So where does he stack up among his peers? Well, it's not one. Or two, or three, or four, or five, or six, or seven, or eight. Dan Campbell checks in ninth on Pro Football Focus's list. John, did they get it right?
I think they did, and here's why. Every coach ahead of him has either appeared in a Super Bowl or won a Super Bowl. And the number one coach, which I think is not even up for debate, is Andy Reid.
Yep.
He's been unbelievable at a couple of stops. And it took him a long time to win his first Super Bowl. But obviously, I mean, I played against his teams when he was in Philly. And now all of a sudden in Kansas City, he's got Patrick Mahomes. And whether or not he's past Patrick Mahomes, he's an unbelievable coach, a great offensive mind. Sean Payton comes in at number two, which surprised me a little bit. Having been back in the league for only 1 year, I know he's got a Super Bowl under his belt, and what he did with Bo Nix was remarkable. I would like to see more, and I do think that he still belongs ahead of Dan. But there's, you know, Kyle Shanahan is ahead of him, Nick Sirianni.
We'll go in order just so people get kind of the sense. So number one's Reed, two is Peyton, three is Sean McVay.
Mm-hmm. Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. And quickly flip them back around with a reboot. Like last year back in the playoffs – John Harbaugh's number 4 Super Bowl winner. Mike Tomlin's number 5. We're getting further and further away from that Super Bowl, but Super Bowl winner.
And never had a losing season.
Never. Jim Harbaugh's 6th. Doesn't have the Super Bowl win, but has a Super Bowl appearance. Kyle Shanahan is 7th with a bunch of Super Bowl appearances. Nick Sirianni, probably too low at 8, having won a Super Bowl, and then Dan Campbell at 9.
Yeah, I probably would have put Nick Sirianni ahead of Kyle Shanahan. You're splitting hairs at 7 or 8 there. And obviously, we don't really care where those guys are ranked. We're just concerned with Dan Campbell. But as soon as Dan Campbell gets a team to the Super Bowl, he wins a Super Bowl. Now all of a sudden, it opens the conversation of where is he in the top 5. But I believe you've got to get there.
I think he'd be as high as 2.
Could be.
To do it for this organization,
right? Well, yes.
I mean, Reed's got multiple, so he'd stay 1. But I think Campbell would be 2.
Most likely.
I mean, because he'd be matching Peyton and McVay and Harbaugh. I mean, these guys all have 1. It's not like there's guys.
Right. So and then you go, okay, well, how far away are they? Obviously, Sean McVay's is recent. Sean Payton's is long ago. John Harbaugh's, Mike Tomlin's all long ago. Jim Harbaugh, no Super Bowl winner, but what he did in San Francisco. And I think he's on this list because of what he did in his first stint in the NFL with San Francisco. So, yeah, I think if he wins a Super Bowl, he rockets up this list, and we could argue 2, 3, 4, whatever it is. But I'm curious to our listeners, do they believe Dan Campbell is appropriately ranked? Mm. And I think the follow-up question is, can Dan Campbell ultimately win a Super Bowl here in Detroit? With him, not can the Lions win a Super Bowl. We know the roster. We know it's young. We talk about windows, all this stuff. But can Dan Campbell win a Super Bowl as head coach of the Detroit Lions? And it put into that everything that we know about Dan Campbell. Now, it wasn't him that dropped the pass on 4th down against San Francisco, but he does bear a little bit of responsibility for everything that happens on the field. He wasn't, you know, with Jahmyr Gibbs when he fumbled the ball. He wasn't out there when the ball bounced off a face mask into the arms of Brandon Ayuk. But he does bear responsibility for putting these guys in position, calling their number, and everything that goes into it, as well as, and you brought up a great point, as much as we say this is Dan Campbell's offense, we also then have to say, well, the calls that were made against Washington, offensive calls that were made against Washington,
were Dan Campbell calls.
Right. We can't just say, well, it's Ben Johnson. He's no longer here.
When it's good, it's Campbell. When it's bad, it's Ben Johnson. Guys, right. I know that's convenient as a fan to do, but you can point to last year losing at home as a 15-win one seed, a 9.5-point favorite, right. Losing that game is a blemish on Dan Campbell.
And
so I get why you ask.
His nickname, Dan Gamble.
And I get why you ask. He invites this criticism with the gambles. Now, I have said, and I believe you're with me on this, those gambles have paid off more often than not. I don't even mean statistically. I mean they have elevated the franchise and won them more games than if they had played it safe. Because that's the other side of the coin. It's not just did it work or didn't it work. It's, well, what if we never went for 2 and if we never went 4 on 4th down, how many of those possessions you end up with empty drives?
Fake punts.
Right.
You know, I mean, the fake punt against – everybody forgets about the fake punt against Kansas City to start the season off a couple of years ago. Like, that was huge. That was in the Lions' territory. It was the 35-yard line. If they don't convert that, you give Patrick Mahomes in the first quarter the ball right there. So, I mean, it's all of it goes into, do you believe – Dan Campbell can ultimately win a Super Bowl here in Detroit.
248-539-9797. John, my answer, unequivocally, is yes. I think we've seen people follow the leader. I mean, we watched in that Vikings game last year, end of the season, we watched Kevin O'Connell try to keep up with Dan Campbell and force it in some of those red zone possessions because he knew what Dan Campbell was going to do. We've seen other coaches say, hey, it's 4th down. We got to keep the ball.
Right.
We got to maximize our offense. We have to go for it. I think he's not the first coach to be aggressive on 4th down. He's taken it to the extreme, and he's dragged other coaches into the modern era with him. I think it's winning football. I think it's aggressive football. And I think that does win.
I think it does as well. And, I mean, look, John Harbaugh, before Dan Campbell, he's probably been the one that's been most, I don't want to say a gambler in regards, but aggressive in regards to going for it on fourth down. And he's got the clout that it works because he's got the Super Bowl. He's been able to win one, and they've had the parade in Baltimore. They've done all of the celebrating, and now it's a matter of will it work in Detroit? And it will it work? Will it work this year? Will it work next year? Like, what is the window? And I say that with the idea that the number one coach on this list is Andy Reid, unequivocally and unquestioned the best coach in all of football right now. He's on his second team, and it took him 20 years before he won a Super Bowl, his first Super Bowl in Kansas City. And he had a couple of trips to the Super Bowl as an Eagles coach, Donovan McNabb, he had Terrell Owens, had all that stuff, but couldn't get it done in Philly.
Well, one great thing that Andy Reid has done, everybody knows about offensive play design and what he's done to elevate quarterbacks, then you pair him with Mahomes. How about hiring Steve Spagnuolo?
Yeah.
That's a huge part of being a head coach is dealing with turnover, and they hired a hell of a DC. That's a question for Dan Campbell going into this season, is replacing both of his coordinators. Did he appropriately replace them?
Right, and it feels like other than the Anthony Lynn hire, and he's made some changes, obviously, with position coaches, but his coordinators since then were good hires. Mm-hmm. And he's developed now two coaches that are going to be NFL head coaches in Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn. Now, we'll see how they do, but we could be looking about, because we talk about all of the coaches that have coached for Bill Belichick, and have they been able to go out and win? Well, not really, apart from where Bill has been. And we'll see what Vrabel can do. But, he coached with him a little bit, but he played for him for a long time. So he's all part of that tree. Will we eventually be talking about the Dan Campbell tree?
You brought up the window idea here, and the roster's going to be intact contractually for the next two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, we don't know. Salary cap is real, even with the cap games that teams play. We've talked and discussed about it. You're not keeping everybody forever. Next 2 years, they should. They should keep everybody together the next two seasons and have a real shot at this. And I think Dan Campbell has proven that he elevates rosters. So, yeah, I think he can take them to the Super Bowl and win it.
Yeah, and it will be a matter of being able to shepherd his coaches, Kelvin Shepherd being one of them, little play on words there, and obviously John Morton. And I don't think you go from a guy that has done a good job of hiring coaches or at least recognizing and not wasting any time with a bad hire, making a change, that you all of a sudden are going to be a coach that can't evaluate the guys that you want to work for you or work under you.
Dan Campbell ranked ninth among NFL head coaches. We love the guy. Do you take it as disrespect or do you see it? As much as I'd love to come on today and fight for our guy, if all eight guys ahead of him have played in or coached in or won a Super Bowl, I kind of get where he's placed. Let's get to Greg and Shelby. Greg, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Good morning, you guys. Mr. Positive. Boom shakalaka. I think Dan Campbell has the ability to win, but it's weird. It's a zeitgeist. It's a spirit that, can you really honestly say Detroit Lions Super Bowl champions? I believe that it's so hard and improbable that there's something otherworldly that says, no, it's not going to happen. Yeah, we got Dan Campbell. We've lost a couple pieces in our coaching staff, but it's just weird, you guys. It's something that I can't it's ephemeral, it's ethereal, if you will, that it's just telling you that it's not going to happen. We'll get so close, but yet it just won't happen.
And this is the phone call from Mr. Positive?
Yeah, I mean, that's not a very positive take. You think that the universe just won't allow the Lions, no matter who the head coach is, the universe won't allow the Lions to win the Super Bowl.
John, you're spot on. Yes, and I don't know why, but it's weird. We say it, and we want to believe it, but it just feels like it's not going to happen. You just nailed it. You just nailed it.
And no, I don't think he's nailing it. I think he's perplexed, Greg. I appreciate the phone call. I don't think there's any better idea of what Lions fandom is than a guy who calls himself Mr. Positive saying he can't fathom the Lions, and that's the torturous history of the Lions. But I thought we had put a lot of this in the rearview mirror, and I thought Dan Campbell was at the forefront of burying a lot of the SOL stuff.
I mean, he did that for his first couple of years, and all of the antics and the pants with the dirt and shaking them out, all that stuff. Like, it's – I don't believe that there is some greater force that is keeping – the Detroit Lions organization from winning a Super Bowl.
You know what's kept him from winning a Super Bowl is
execution.
Gibbs fumble, yeah. Reynolds drop, blown a 17-point lead in the NFC title game, Goff's turnovers.
And I don't believe that there's some eternal force that caused a rash of injuries. Like, there is such a thing just as, hey, bad luck, sorry, try again next year, which they will do.
A ghost-like figure possessed J-Mo, and he threw the interception.
Right, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Anyway, 248-539-9797. Try to do better. It's 97.1.
Thank you, Han.
Dan Campbell, ninth among NFL coaches, Pro Football Focus. We asked you guys, is he ranked properly? And as much as I'd like to rally and cry and rally the troops, the eight coaches ahead of him have either won or appeared in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He's appropriately ranked, which then begs the question, can he join them as a coach to win the Super Bowl? 248-539-9797. Heads up, 725. We got the $2,000 slam. Mm-hmm. John Jansen has played it off air. And won $2,000.
Yes, this is one that I believe somebody should get.
You can do the same.
We'll set we'll set that bar at 10.
Oh, boy. Let's do it, though. Let's give away some money. Yes. 7:25 today. Dear John at 7:35. Talk a little road trips in the 7 o'clock hour as well. Phone call to get to, 248-539-9797. Patrick in Sterling Heights waiting patiently. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, you asked if he can. I guess that's the question. Can he win one here? Can Dan Campbell win a Super Bowl? Yeah, my take on that is basically I think he's got a better chance than most coaches. Now, let me premise this real quick by saying I'm a Saints fan. So we just, like all the other loser teams, hired a new coach. And if you think Kellen Moore, I mean, he's probably in line to have a Dan Campbell first year where he wins two or three games. And that's expected. But if he doesn't win seven or eight games by year at least three, he's out the door. Like, that's what they do. So Campbell, I think, has earned, because of his success, I think he's had, as opposed to the carousel, I think he has the cachet to, you mentioned windows. So this is window one. I think he's had a chance to have a window two, unlike many coaches. I think if he has a couple down years after, if something bad happens, and, well, I have no skin in the game on the line.
No, but it's pro football. Like Patrick, you're right. I mean, there's a world where they get a couple cracks at this, and then there's a reset, and he'll survive a reset because of the cachet he's built up.
Like what we've seen in L.A.
I think so. And I think so, you know, he'll have a second chance. I'm certain the ownership would give him that at this point. So unlike many coaches, I think he's at least got a good chance of taking two cracks at it, whatever happens this time. And if it doesn't work out, then I think, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road, he'd probably have another chance. So,
Patrick, I like this phone call because that's an underrated point. Like, we're very focused on the next couple years with these guys, and I think the answer is yes in the next couple years. But an even better part of the argument is he's going to have longevity here in Detroit, and we watched him show he could drag a roster last year to new heights at 15 wins. Mm-hmm. And it's better when you got all pros, but we've watched him drag rosters up since he's been here in Detroit.
And that'll be the interesting part is how much cachet has he built up? Will he continue to build up? Does he get back to the NFC Championship game? Does he ultimately take this team to a Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl? That gives you as much cachet as you're going to have. And then as you rebuild, and we've seen it in – with the Rams. That's why I referenced the Rams. And you did it in terms of in this list. When you watch Sean McVay, they've been able to rebuild on the run. And the question will be, if you're talking about that second
wave.
That second wave, are they going to have to make a change at quarterback? or will they be forced to?
Right.
Because they've been able to do it with the Rams with the same quarterback, Matthew Stafford.
Ding,
and
ding,
now
ding,
we all
John.
Know he's go ahead.
I was going to say, ding, ding, ding. That's and you look at the top guy on the list, Andy Reid. He had Donovan McNabb. I mean, that was a Super Bowl caliber type quarterback, but they still couldn't get it done when they were together there. But Andy Reid got a second QB chance in Philly before he even came to KC. He got a second QB chance in KC with Smith and then to Mahomes. So ultimately, it's kind of tied to, is Jared Goff good enough to win a Super Bowl? But Dan Campbell will probably get a second opportunity if it becomes clear that Goff is the reason he's not winning.
Well, if you ask me the biggest reason they didn't win the Super Bowl last year, the biggest reason they lost that playoff game, it's Goff.
Right.
But the year before,
the biggest reason they were there and were in position to win it was Goff.
But if you ask me the year before why they lost the NFC title game, like, Campbell bears responsibility in both. He's the bleeping head coach.
Right.
But the bigger issue to me was drops and fumbles and execution and player mistakes. So I don't put Dan Campbell as the biggest reason they lost either of their playoff games the last two seasons.
No, and you, I mean, just talk about the cachet. Where was this team when he took over? Where was this organization? Where was the Ford family when he took over? And now all of a sudden we're talking about Super Bowl windows. We're arguing about QB2 or who's going to be the kicker. And we're talking about now having won the division 2 years in a row. We expect him to win it this year. And we all ultimately – yeah, the regular season's going to be fun. It'll probably be a roller coaster, but what will happen in the playoffs?
Charlie in Brighton, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Good morning. Dan Campbell's done a great job building cultures. The players believe in him. But the difference between a coach that wins a Super Bowl is a coach that also educates the team, saying, look, there will come a time where I may not go for it. And if the NFC Championship game in San Francisco, I think that cost him dearly. He needs to be able to make that decision and make a change, and that's what a leader does. And he has a team that understands that decision, that they'll continue to have a strong culture.
So let me ask you this. In that NFC Championship game, when he was not supposed to go for it, are you referring to the 4th-and-2 drop? Because that had been a catch all season long. If it's a catch, they're more than likely going to be playing in the Super Bowl.
It's a fair point, but he still decided to take a risk in those decisions to go for it versus just take the points.
Right, but those risks are what had elevated the team. Those risks are why they were in that position in the first place. Those risks were the right decisions and would have won them the game.
Now, we don't know if that catch is caught by Josh Reynolds. Do they win this? Do they go to the Super Bowl? It feels like it. On the flip side, if they don't go for it on 4th-and-2 and they punt the ball, or there's an argument to be made. Yeah, they could be playing in the Super Bowl as well.
The point is, you got to keep scoring. The other team ended up scoring more points. So keep your offense on the field for short yardage.
Right.
But some of this is personnel based. It's personnel based. If you've got an elite line, if you've got a quarterback that can get the ball out in timing, if you've got good quality receivers and pass catchers. Reynolds, that's the crazy thing, was so clutch all season. That's going to be his lingering legacy. That was not the player he was all season.
And on Twitch, I think Dynasty Dan puts it perfectly. Just because it didn't work doesn't make it the wrong choice.
We hear that from A.J. Hinch all the time.
Yeah.
A.J. will join us coming up in an hour, 8:02. Hey, if you have a middle school-aged athlete, we've got this event coming up, 97.1 The Ticket and Detroit Pal. 5th through 8th graders, part of a junior NFL-style combine. It's going to take place coming up in July on the 16th. It's going to be at the Corner Ballpark where the old Tiger Stadium was. If you want information, if you want to register, there's prizes. You go to 971theticket.com or DetroitPal.org/events. 2 Grand Slam, Dear John, road trips, and more coming up next, 97.1.